Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Life on the front lines requires you to step up your game. Owned and operated by former Navy SEAL Sean Mattson, CardoMax has designed just the right supplements for you and is offering Drinking Bros an exclusive offer. Buy one, get one free on your first order. Go to CardoMax.com and use the promo code DB. That's CardoMax.com. Helping you achieve your max.
Yeah!
Welcome to Drinking Bros Fake News, bringing you the realest, fakest news of the entire week. D'Anthony, we got a gangbusters worth of shows today.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if I'm using that word properly. Probably not, but we got a lot of shows tonight. So we got the NFL draft tonight, too. Live on Drinking Bros Sports, but you know we weren't going to forget the fake news, brother.
No, we're just a little late today. You were recording a sports show.
Yes.
That was a great conversation, and I was recording a new show that's going to be on our network soon.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Christmas, yeah. Bada Bad, Christmas Abbott.
So, and
busy day so far.
Busy day, and then tonight, Tailgate Legends is leading off our NFL live draft show on Drinking Bros Sports Channel, on the other YouTube channel. And then we're going into the whole five-hour coverage with you. Going to have some call-ins and some laughs tonight. Hopefully not some cries out of me, depending upon who the Falcons pick. That's why I'm wearing my Falcons shirt today. I'm hoping they do the right thing today. But that's probably asking a lot, Dan.
Yeah.
Asking a lot.
My understanding was that you had sworn off all Atlanta sports teams.
I did, except for the Day of Hope. And this is it. So this is the one day of year that all of us sports fans have a day of hope where it might change. You might draft that one guy who could turn the franchise around. This is our day of hope. But if you fuck up the first round, then that's it. So
yeah, I feel like you're suffering under some severe cognitive dissonance right now.
Yeah.
What you're seeing as a day of hope is actually the selection day in the Hunger Games.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
In reality.
Yeah.
I'm sure the Falcons are probably going to take fucking like Mac Jones. They're probably going to take fat body Mac Jones or something like that.
If they do, I will burn down the studio with you inside of it.
A lot of people thought that Mac Jones at 3 was a sure thing, but that's not what I heard. I heard that they originally had traded up in the front office, wanted Mac Jones, but Shanahan is enamored with this trade, Lance Kidd, right? So there was some kind of battle going on behind the scenes. I don't know if it was an actual battle or if it was this negotiation or like, hey, I think this guy can do this or this guy can do this, but they seem pretty interested in drafting fucking him.
Both of those guys, because it's Lynch and Shanahan, they're both pretty stubborn, so like they would make sense. It would make sense.
Lynch, the former strong safety, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he fucking laid monster hits on people. He might be him and Ronnie Lott for strong safeties laying hits on people, all out of the Bay Area, right?
Oh, yeah. Put some love on Steve Atwater.
We will.
Steve Atwater, too, from Denver. He was pretty goddamn good.
We will.
Yeah.
But, yeah, join us tonight. We'll be live at 6 Central, 7 p.m. East Coast, and we'll be with you till probably midnight, to be honest with you.
Rodgers to the 49ers, I could actually see that happening.
Oh, my God.
I could totally see that happening.
They might win the Super Bowl on that team.
Kreger's just put that in the fucking in the chat down here, but I could totally see that happening. I mean, he's intimated that he wants out of Green Bay, but are not directly, but people on his team or leaked somehow or whatever. But honestly, that's probably just him saying, you better draft a fucking wide receiver.
Maybe.
Right. I think that's probably what that is, but we'll see. Right. I mean, draft day is today. So we'll fucking find out in a couple of hours if the Packers trade Rodgers to the 49ers for that third pick. If I'm both of those teams, I'll make that trade any day. Right.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And to be honest, if I'm the Packers and I make that trade, I probably take Pitts and I probably fucking put Jordan Love and just throw him into the fucking fire there in Green Bay and let him play and see what happens. Run a like 2 fucking tight end set and just use the weapons you have with Devontae Adams and fucking Aaron Jones or whatever the fuck his name is.
The best would be if it just got interrupted by Jeopardy and they said Jeopardy is now drafted Aaron Rodgers as the new host and fuck off.
That would be pretty
funny.
And he
just retires from the NFL.
That would be pretty funny. I feel like he's in the situation now where it's like, you guys have done nothing to get me weapons for a long time. And he's at that nothing to lose point.
Yeah, like, he's like 38.
Like, well, he's 37, but he will be, I think, in the season. So he's thinking, most guys in that part of their career are like, all right, they're doing their fucking finances, but like, how much money do I have? He's got a $15 million a year job waiting on him as soon as he's done.
Yes.
And he might be able to do them concurrently, frankly. We'll see. We'll see how that goes.
That's tough.
I mean, if they film all during one part of the season, or one part of the year, but he's a guy with options.
Yes, a lot of options.
And Green Bay doesn't have many because if they were to release him right now, they would take like $70 million in cap hits with no return on that. But if they trade him, that's a whole other story, right?
And if he doesn't go to Jeopardy, I think he might go to McAfee's show when he's all done.
Maybe,
he's
yeah.
been doing Tuesdays.
I mean, he could definitely do both of those easily.
Because
they'll record 3 to 4 Jeopardies a day, and then he can do one of those shows a week.
I mean,
that's easy.
Great life. Speaking of California officials pressured social media companies to censor posts about the 2020 election. Huge shock.
Yeah.
Judicial Watch received 540 pages of documents from the California Secretary of State proving state officials pressured social media companies to censor posts about the 2020 election. Look, we said this on our show as it was going on. Mm-hmm. We weren't seeing anything from any side of the Republicans or Trump or any of that stuff. To me, this information is not shocking. The documents show that communications firm SKDK compiled information in emails they called misinformation briefings. The firm lists Biden for president as their top client in 2020. And according to a report from December of last year, the Office of Election Cybersecurity in California monitored and tracked social media posts and determined if they considered them misinformation. Mm-hmm. On 31 occasions, the Secretary of State's office requested posts to be removed, 24 of which were subsequently taken down or flagged as misinformation. One of the videos mentioned in the documents was a video from Judicial Watch President Tom Fitton, which the documents claimed head of conservative group Judicial Watch host video alleging Democrats benefit from incorrect voter rolls and ballot collection. And the video in the document states, "We want to flag this YouTube video because it misleads community members about elections or civic processes and misrepresents the safety and security of our mail-in ballots."
Now, there were Veritas broke like 4 different stories
yep.
of this ballot, this illegal ballot collection and paying for and tricking older people into changing their ballot and all kinds of shit. So we're talking about something that is demonstrably true being censored by a company on behalf of a marketing agency that works for the now president of the United States. So that means the president of the United States or before that, the vice president of the United States or former vice president was able to use campaign financing that he got from major companies. Then he uses that money to pay a consulting firm to, on his behalf, pressure tech companies to censor stuff and mislead voters, right? Every part of that is fucked. The corporate involvement, the money in politics, the censorship, and the fact that the social media companies agreed to do it at all. All of that is corrupt, and it's evil. And it's, I mean, Biden, during his fucking, that speech last night, I don't even know what he said, to be honest, but.
Did you watch it?
I looked over some of it, but yeah. I couldn't with that. But it's one of the things he kept saying was that the democracy is tough and fucking whatever, like implying that democracy is strong, it'll survive. Well, it's not going to survive with assholes like him in office,
right?
Whether he's complicit or just a fucking puppet, it doesn't really matter. The office of the president is meant to be held by somebody who projects strength, not somebody who should be in a fucking nursing home. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I mean, this is goddamn ridiculous. And again, like I said on American Party yesterday, this is another example of someone from that same Obama administration using agencies within the government, right, to inflict pain on political adversaries. Now, Obama did it in 2016 after Trump had won. He started fucking using the FBI and everybody to launch all these investigations.
Yeah, those FISA warrants and all that stuff.
Create this whole fucking Russia hoax bullshit. And I guess that wasn't that bad, according to the left. And then when fucking Trump's like, hey, man, it seems like something weird happened here.
Yeah.
that's an insurrection and blah, blah, blah. And Biden had the audacity, by the way, to call the insurrection the greatest assault on America since the Civil War.
Yeah.
Like, what about 9/11 or Pearl Harbor? You were alive for both, asshole. Probably should look back in the fucking history book a little bit on that. Now, Twitter also gave the Secretary of State's office the training guidelines they use for removing posts, which they described as, quote, training on creative and effective content strategies on Twitter in advance of the U.S. election, and, quote, a dedicated way for critical stakeholders to flag concerns directly to Twitter. Mm-hmm. Critical stakeholders is a euphemism for the Biden campaign, because I sure as shit know that the Trump campaign wasn't reaching out to Twitter asking them to delete stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Give me a fucking break.
Yeah, it's crazy. And there was one of the statements in this, I'm trying to pull it up here right now, Bob, from last night, where Biden said America is built on government. And I mean, it was one of the craziest lines of all time last night.
What he said was, we the people means the government.
Correct. Yes.
No.
Yes. That's exactly what he said.
It means the opposite of that. Now, he may have been trying, just to, the principle of charity here, he may have been trying to say that you are the government, not us. But which is also a lie, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Maybe it was some kind of like improperly worded call to action for people to get more involved in government. Maybe. I'm trying to be nice.
Yeah. What was the exact phrase? We the people are government? Like, it was strange. And it was like, oh, so big government's just going to take over.
Control F, we the people.
Yeah.
There you go.
There it is.
Well, our Constitution opens with the words, as trite as it sounds, we the people. Well, it's time to remember that we the people are the government, you and I, not some force in a distant capital, not some powerful force that we have no control over. It's us, we the people.
Yeah. The you and I wasn't in there. So, like, that's great that it was in his speech written down. But I didn't hear it last night.
Yeah, he definitely didn't say that part of it. But even if he had said that part, no.
We're not the government.
No.
Like, we the people are not government.
No, clearly not. I mean, that's certainly the way that was intended to be. But there is about...
Sounded like a Freudian slip to me. Of yeah. Like, hey, we're going to control everything now and you're all good.
There's 538 people that control most of your daily life.
Yes.
Frankly. Yeah. 538. That's why Nate Silver's organization is called 538, because it counts the number of Congress people, yep. 438 plus 100 senators, right?
Yeah.
And then president, vice president, their staff. You're looking at about 1,000 people total, maybe a little bit less, that control a very significant portion of your day-to-day life.
332 million people.
Yeah, and they are the most dishonest, corrupt pieces of shit that exist. They're all cunts, right? This is all untenable. And it's, again, like you said before, it's not surprising that something like that would happen.
No.
But it is alarming that it's happening. And it's also alarming that people on the left are so convinced that they're right, that they're willing to do this and cheat and lie to people to fucking win. That's a problem. That's a problem that's going to have to get solved.
Well, look, I think both sides, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. So I think both sides probably cheated during the elections, but I assume that that's always going on. The issue I have with this story in particular is the control of social media. I don't care if you're cheating if the field is even. But if you can't get the same ads out that somebody else can get out.
Right.
This, again, I could rail on this forever about these social media platforms being public utilities. Because if you can manipulate the game, if you can take the offsides off on the video game, then what the fuck are we doing here? And this is going to continue to happen over and over and over again. If you're willing to... On the left, say to yourself, all right, there was no way that this election was stolen. There was no way that there was extra ballots, no way of this other thing. You can't then have a closed mind to, well, the right got shut out of ads on social media platforms and they were pulling things. It literally happened to us right up until the election. It's not like we were posting anything that was pro one person versus the other. It was little things like Hunter Biden. Do you remember those Hunter Biden pictures, just pictures that got leaked that we were posting? They got taken down from Instagram and Facebook and everything else.
Well, I mean, the story that the New York Post wrote about the fucking laptop and all the stuff that was on it.
Yeah.
Right?
It was all true.
It was all true. And Twitter blocked it. Facebook blocked it as well.
Yeah.
So this is what we're talking about. This is what happened. So it wasn't just, we now have proof, and this was a Freedom of Information Act request by Judicial Watch, by the way. So we have proof from the California state legislature that they were absolutely doing this.
Yeah.
Right?
All big tech companies are out of California and Silicon Valley.
Correct. But in addition to that, this is the Biden campaign doing this, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the Biden campaign that keeps talking to you about how there's all this voter suppression going on all over the country. And look, some of the stuff the Republicans did, like in Georgia, some of those principles are fucking stupid. Doesn't make any sense. But a lot of it is not in any way close to voter suppression. But the left is constantly on this. They're harping on this. And it's been for fucking years. Like voter suppression, voter suppression. And it, as it turns out, if you don't think that suppressing the other side's message from getting out is a form of voter suppression, then you're fucking deluding yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And if the idea is that his message, his being Trump's, is too dangerous to get out, that's not really for you to decide. And taking it upon yourself to decide that is criminal.
Yeah.
This is interference in a fucking election. And the people involved, right, the Biden administration, Biden himself, SKDK, need to be held accountable, and so do the fucking tech companies. Now, will that happen?
No.
Probably not. And it's the problem with that is that anytime you have some kind of fucking conflict coming, if you can deal with it early at the lowest possible level, then you can usually avoid violence. Now, this system has been set up where not only is that not going to happen, but the FBI, for the second Democratic fucking administration in a row, is now being used to target the other political side.
Mm-hmm.
So not only is it not going to happen, but we are on a collision course right now for real violence in this country for the first time in a long time.
I don't think so, and here's why. I think a lot of people with social media in particular don't know. Because if you can't see it and it's not in your face and you don't do a show like this where you have millions of listeners and all that other stuff and you can talk about stories like this, I don't know where you find it. Because this wasn't on the news last night. This wasn't anywhere. This certainly wasn't on any form of social media. And right now, is there anything bigger besides our government than big tech? I've got them at 1-2 of influencing not only elections, our lives, the news, what we think, how we treat people, racism, all of it. It is all controlled by the media, our government, and big tech, and whatever message they want to give us versus freedom of speech on both sides and you being able to decide what's right and wrong in the world. They're just telling us, here's what's right, and you're going to have to fucking deal with it. And I don't think most people really know or understand or care to look behind the curtain and say, are we being tricked here? Because it feels like we're being tricked.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure. Look, people rebel at the idea, at any idea that doesn't make sense. Then that's what cognitive dissonance is. The idea that what you're seeing is true is so offensive or implausible or whatever that you create a different solution in your head that is not based in reality. That's what cognitive dissonance is, and that's what's happening right now. But it's not new. This is not the first time it happened, and it 100% always leads to violence. This is what when any country that's exercised mass level gun control like that, it's led to violence. Any country that started to censor speech, especially, right? And it usually goes in that order. The Second Amendment comes off the board, and then the First comes off the board after that, right? Because there's nothing left to defend yourself with. Now, this is America, though, right? It's going to be different here. Maybe we can resolve it before that happens, but I don't think so. I think that what you're saying actually leads to my point, which is there are so many people that are fucking blind to this shit or refuse to believe it that the assault will continue until certain people have had enough.
Right.
Right. And that's what led to the American Revolution in the first place.
But what I'm saying is this, I don't think there is a big enough segment of the population who is willing to do that or knows about it.
There are fucking about 500,000 to 700,000 people like me walking around right now.
Sure. But in a country of 332 million.
332 million pussies.
Right. But still, it's not enough. Right.
It's enough. If you don't think that's enough, you need to go to fucking Iraq or Vietnam or something like that, where they fought with a far inferior force and beat us with all of our technology, all of our manpower, all of our fucking guns and bombs and shit, and we lost.
But the problem is,
we
wouldn't have the technology.
We don't need the technology. Fighting an insurgency is easy. Frankly, and I'm not advocating to start a goddamn insurgency or anything. I'm just saying
it feels like it, Dan.
No,
week
no.
by week, it
not
feels like you're ready to really go for the gusto.
Well, I mean, I don't really care one way or another, but yeah, not at all. I'm just saying that history has shown us that being the far superior force against an enemy that has nothing left to lose is not a winning solution. You have to give people a way out. You have to give them a way to fucking continue living their lives the way they wanted to before with some fucking moderation, right? And, for example, Bremer, Paul Bremer, idiot, the guy that was their first Iraq fucking liaison dude, mm-hmm. Just like, yeah, send all the Iraqi police and army home, right? Instead of paying them and keeping them on, because a lot of them were bath party, right? But those are still going to be the police and army. Those are the people who do the policing and the army shit in that country. Like, you're not going to make new police out of people who are fucking educators and shit. That's not how it works, motherfucker. So you need to give people, when you're dealing with these kind of situations, and any smart ruler would do it, a way to get reinvested into the community. It's what the Marshall Plan in Europe was all about. It wasn't about stopping, because we made that mistake in World War I. We fucked Germany up, took their army away, fucking pissed them off, fucked their economy up with sanctions and all that bullshit, and then Hitler was very easily able to convince these people that we were the enemy. Because we were, frankly.
Yeah.
But after World War II, we didn't do that again. We fucking instituted the Marshall Plan, and now look at Europe. I mean, it has its problems, but it's there, and it exists. And we did the same thing in Japan. Japan went from an adversary into one of our closest allies and one of the most technologically advanced countries in the world. It has to happen that way, right? So it doesn't. All the tech stuff doesn't matter. If you have people that are that feel like they have nothing left to lose, they will fight you until the fucking last drop of blood comes out of their body.
I get it.
And 500,000 of those people can do anything to this military. Let's be real. The people out there enforcing this stuff, it's hard to say which side they would be on in that kind of situation. I think it would kind of split down the middle, to be honest. I
mean, maybe. Remember, it's just so many people. It's like the classic debate of how many fifth graders could you take.
Well, not really, though, because there's only 750,000 or so sworn officers in this country, right?
Yeah. But you're looking at 332 million people, according to that last census.
Like, that's right.
It's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Against, you know, what, 1.5?
I mean, most people don't get involved in stuff like that. Again, this is all hypothetical. This doesn't have to happen. But somebody, it does have to get cut off soon. Otherwise, that will happen, right? And it's like trying to stave off infection. You have to cut some good tissue out with the necrotic tissue. Otherwise, it's going to come back at some point. And it has to happen at the earliest possible convenience for all of society. Now, we're still in that phase where rights are being slowly eroded. And it could be stopped right now without any kind of violence or any bullshit. It could be stopped by people just waking the fuck up and be like, you know what? No, you're not doing that. That's really all it would take, is a collective sigh and recollect ourselves and then be like, you know what? Get the fuck out of here.
But you take this tech story here that we're talking about. Like, when usually you hear information like this, there'll be a trend on Twitter for a day and a half, says delete mm-hmm. Facebook, delete Twitter, delete Instagram, whatever the social media app is. Nobody ever does it. You know, a handful of people do it, and then everybody else moves on with their lives, mm-hmm. and they're going to post pictures of their dog or their kids or whatever it is, and things go back to normal. I just don't see it happening unless there is another social media platform for people to be like, all right, well, you can't fuck up this one.
Well, I mean, what will happen is people will start to tune out of social media, right? And that should be probably the first step. I mean, maybe not get rid of it entirely, but make a focused effort to engage in things in the way that social media was intended to be engaged in, right?
Well, that's what I do. So, like, I was looking at my, like, Facebook time spent versus mm-hmm. what it used to be. A lot of the posts are connected through Instagram, and then that goes out to the world, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. Drinking Bros Sports, which is a private Facebook group for our sports show, that's where I spend the most time, because it's shit that I want to hear about, things that I like to talk about, and I get to talk to people that I find interesting. Whereas I don't find my normal feed any more interesting or because I don't, not that it's not my friends, because it's not them. It's whatever algorithm has been decided for me is not really the most exciting shit that I want to see, or my actual friends themselves.
No, Twitter does that intentionally.
They do the on the opposite way. Because when I got into it with Chrissy Teigen a couple weeks ago, and she ended up blocking me after she said, because she made the same declaration. I'm going to leave Twitter. It's toxic, and I've got two kids, and I've got a life and all that other stuff. 22 days later, she said, I'm back, guys. It turns out it's terrible to silence yourself. And I was like, oh, my God. And she was like, I miss belly laughs and lols and all this other. I mean, just the cheesiest shit of all time. And I was like, man, baby Jessica was in that fucking well longer than you could stay off Twitter. It's crazy to me, but it's that's the people that I hate that are in your feed every single day. Because people are like, I don't understand, why not just block all these people? I can't block all of them. I mean, it's every day it's new people that I didn't know that I hated, where I was like, ah, shit, man. I just want to look at the news, or I just want to look at the trends. So it's the opposite way in Twitter. Instagram is probably your best bet for just random shit because it's pictures. You know, it's not words first. It's pictures first. And so I don't know. Unless another platform comes out, I think most people will just go along with this and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, that's how it happens. It's the poem. It's first they came for the socialists. And yeah, people go along with it for a while, but that ends, right, at some point.
Or does something else new come along?
Yeah. No, I'm not talking about continuing to use Instagram. I'm talking about when people look at the government and media and social media and tech companies in general and say, we've had enough, right? Because we've done that a bunch of times in the past.
But if you don't know it's happening, and clearly nobody did.
People know what's happening.
I do.
No, I think a lot of people. I think the left.
We did.
I think the left intentionally shields themselves from it right now, but that's still 75 million Trump voters out there who know exactly what the fuck's going on. I mean, you don't think those people are fucking tuned into this shit? Of course they are.
I'm not sure.
Because a lot of them fucking believe that the election wasn't even real.
So that's what and that's why I say that. So that's what I hear the most in the streets. Because you and I travel everywhere. We're going to the Kentucky Derby to do a live show there this weekend, and then afterwards we're going to Dallas. You and I get to talk to people from all over the country in person all the time. The biggest thing that comes up when we talk to all of these listeners all across the country is the election was stolen. Nobody really says anything about, I think my social media is being censored or whatever. That rarely comes up in normal conversations. It's more about, I think the election was stolen. This social media thing, I just don't hear it that much from that many people. You and I know it's happening because of what we do and what we post and things getting taken down. I don't think most people in Gen Pop are looking at it like that. I just don't.
Well, I mean, it's a self-licking ice cream cone because the media and social media companies certainly aren't going to put this story up at the front, right?
No, but they did for Trump. Remember with the Russia thing?
For sure.
Russia hacked the election. And how much, what were the ads? You knew the number of it. What did they spend?
About $100,000. Yeah. I mean, they spent a lot more on like troll bots and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But on actual advertising on Facebook, it was minimal.
But the other fucked up thing is Facebook knew it then. Then they weren't happy with the president. And then they were like, all right, great. Well, now we're going to go against it and make sure all this shit doesn't get up.
Right.
It feels like big tech is almost running the government of like, hey, who do we want in there?
Right. Well, maybe it is. Right. So, if that's the case, then big tech is the enemy.
Yes. So that I will 100% agree with you on. I think big tech is the biggest thing we have to worry about versus the government. Because I look at Biden's bullshit last night and everything else, and I'm sure Democrats looked at Trump's bullshit and were like, is this really going to pass? I'm one of those people who I don't freak out over, you know, oh, they're going to change Roe v. Wade. No, that's not going to happen. I just don't think that's going to happen. Biden and the, you know, the stack in the Supreme Court, I don't believe that's going to happen.
Okay.
That would be too much, right?
I think they're going to try.
If they do, I think it would cost them elections for years to come. And I think that's why they walked it back.
Well, I don't think they're worried about elections. I think they're worried about taking the country over and making elections irrelevant, frankly.
So what
is the practical difference between just getting rid of the election, declaring your side the ruler for eternity, and cheating using tech, the only fucking way people can communicate with each other to steal the election?
Right.
When I say steal, I don't mean they were fucking changing people's votes.
Sure.
I mean that they fucking ran propaganda campaigns in collusion with private tech companies to alter the results of this campaign.
And that's why I think he lost. Dead serious. I don't think it was the rich white voter thing.
That could have been part of it. Yeah, but I mean, the messaging for sure.
Yeah. And I think big tech did change the election, and so I'm not sold on the ballot thing. I'm more sold on big tech.
Well, I don't even
changing
that,
the election.
Yeah, that part is irrelevant at this point because we know for a fact that big tech, like, made the effort to and did change the election.
Yes.
Right? Maybe not the results, but definitely the numbers in some part. Right?
Now, what you're saying about the thing with the Supreme Court, if they decided to pack that, to me, that would grab enough people's attention where yes, that would cause violence. But I don't think these stories, I think they're so buried in the media, I don't think this is enough, but I think packing the Supreme Court would be so massive that, yes, that would cause violence.
I don't think
violence.
So.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think so.
If people already think that the President of the United States isn't a legitimate President of the United States and they're not doing anything other than 300 rednecks running into the fucking Capitol,
yeah,
there's not going to be violence.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, I don't know.
It comes down to enforcement. So people, this is a problem with humanity, and it's what I've been talking about. We just don't have the will or the foresight to end things before they get started. People allow these rules to build up and build up, and look at our fucking tax code, right? Until finally it's like, motherfucker. But by the time you get to the motherfucker part, the vast majority of people feel that the threat or the weight or whatever it is so immense that, like, what could I do? And that's how people have felt about the vote. I'm just one person. What can I do? For decades now, right? That's been baked into their heads. So it's going to take something much more than just packing the court or adding a state and two more senators to do it. It'll be the Second Amendment, right?
Yes.
That'll
now,
be the
yeah,
one.
Yeah, yeah. That, and, boy. Now, if that happened, yes.
And that's why I'm telling everybody I know.
All of what you said would happen with, if they take away the Second Amendment.
For two reasons, I'm telling everybody I know to move to Texas. One, make sure if you're going to fucking, if you're looking forward to how things might unfold in the future, I don't know what state you live in, but chances are it's not Texas, right? And it's not, doesn't have this attitude. So Texas is a fallback point. It's a line. Our limit of advance. This is as far as we're allowing these assholes to go. There's an old anecdote, some private PFC during World War II, and a tank division was retreating, and he fucking was sitting in a foxhole, and a colonel walks by and says, "Hey, we're getting out of here." And he goes, "Yeah, I'm in my foxhole. I'm the 82nd Airborne, and this is as far as the bastards are getting," right?
Right.
So Texas is that fallback point where regardless of what happens in the rest of the country, things will be fine here. Number two is that if that is the case, you need to be here, right, when that happens. Not for your own protection, but to make sure that all these assholes that are moving from other places into Texas don't fuck up the one last chance we have.
Yeah.
So if you're a fucking reasonable person, I don't care what your politics are, but if you're a reasonable person that's tired of being lied to, tired of having these assholes constantly up in your fucking shit all the time, reaching into your pocket, reaching into your fucking constitutional rights, you need to fucking start making your way down here.
The only thing that will stop Texas is a snowstorm. This next story, by the way, is my favorite one of all time. We can say what it is now because he finally found out. Mm-hmm. Chris Johnson, shout out to you. His wife hit us up and wanted to do a gender reveal of their baby on the show. However, the day that she asked us to do this, we were going live on accidents, we didn't know. It was the Derek Chauvin trial. And we said, look, our live show today is the Derek Chauvin verdict. We were going live with the verdict, and we were like, are you cool with that? Like, how cool is he, and is he hilarious that we do the gender reveal during the verdict? Right. And she goes, yeah, I think he'd think it was pretty fucking funny.
Yeah.
So in the middle of reading out the jurors, we casually slid it in there as a breaking news story. Yeah. Chris Johnson, your wife is having a baby boy.
Yeah.
Juror number 19 is a black. Yeah.
It's so just a little backstory on it. Everybody in his family shoots girls.
Really?
Right. They all shoot girls. Yeah, and it turned out that he found out he was the first in the family to have a son to carry on the name. So if you guys want to put his reaction up there because it's really funny.
So he just throws 20 and he goes, thank you for the gender reveal. Money is for booze and drugs when you guys come to Kentucky for the Derby. Be cool to meet y'all for drinks. Hey, we will be at O'Shea's tomorrow night, Friday night downtown.
The downtown one, because people are asking.
Yes.
Apparently there's two different ones.
Apparently, there's the downtown one. That's where everybody told us to go.
Yeah.
Apparently their COVID rules are still wonky there. Because we were trying to do a live show Friday night, and we were having problems with the venues. And then I talked to one of the bar owners, and he said, yeah, we still close at like midnight. And I was like, really? In Kentucky? Of all places, I didn't think Kentucky.
No, Kentucky is their deep Bible Belt, too. So I don't know if it's some of that, but it's... There are still dry counties in Kentucky.
Oh, yeah. That for sure. But I was surprised. So I was like, all right, yeah. So we're just going to meet up with people downtown, the O'Shea's Bar, probably around 8:30 or 9. Mm-hmm. We may early dinner reservations so we could hang with you guys. And yeah, we will be there. Typically, we do a live show in all these cities, but yeah, they're fucking midnight closed down in Kentucky. I was surprised by that. I was like, okay. And the COVID rules were like, I think you had to wear a mask in or something, and then maybe you could take it off when you sat at your table. Like, it was a whole fucking thing. And I was like, we're just talking and drinking and yeah. COVID policies are different everywhere, man. Yeah. But we will be there. So Chris Johnson coming out to O'Shea's downtown in Louisville tomorrow night. And we'd love to meet you. I just want to know what his reaction was when he heard the show.
Yeah, I mean, we can watch it right now because the video, we got the video pulled up here. His wife sent me a video of him reacting to it.
No way. Yeah. Oh, shit. Dude, pull it up.
It's him and some guy from Duck Dynasty, apparently.
Great. Can you play it?
Yeah, throw that up on the screen.
Sorry, I'm looking at the other screen, so I've got like 9 pictures in front of me.
There we go.
Let me know when it plays.
You're having a boy.
Holy shit! Wow, you're the first one to break this.
I don't know why she stopped filming. Your wife, you got to get a... Your wife.
Whatever was said after that was probably like, hey, man, you're the first man that's got a boy pumping out of his ball sack.
Yeah, it's all Papa John words.
No, it's not.
He does like a little Duck Dynasty, but yeah, congratulations on having a son.
That's awesome, man. It's I get 2 boys. It's great. Bob, you're having a boy too, right?
Yeah, having a boy.
You don't sound real confident in that.
Well, you know, I don't like to. It's up to him.
It's up to him.
Let him decide, and he'll name himself Frankenstein,
Spider-Man.
Well,
it was Frankenstein and Big Daddy.
It was Frankenstein and Big Daddy.
It was 30 Rock, or in 30 Rock, it was Spider-Man.
There was a family in my wife's town, and they let the baby name himself on his first words. So his fucking name, this is no lie, is Googie. Googie.
I would call child services on that family.
Like, I asked Jesse, I was like, what the fuck was the rest of his life like after that? He was like, he was that kid who was like Pigpen. He was just dirty, running around, didn't really speak a lot of English. And, you know, his name was fucking Googie, and it still is to this day.
That's the name of a basement child?
Yeah, Googie.
Yeah.
Googie. So, you're welcome. Welcome.
Maybe he's still in the basement.
Maybe. We'll find out. Next up, speaking of in the basement, Andrew Cuomo hid how many grandparents he killed for months. He had them down in the basement, dude.
Yeah.
Way down there.
By the way, he was in the process of writing a best-selling book and getting an Emmy.
Yeah, so I know we keep talking about this story, but it's so fascinating to me that according to this new report in the New York Times, Andrew Cuomo's office hid the number of deaths now for 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
5. This keeps growing as the story keeps growing, but he's still there. Like, Gavin Newsom's getting recalled, and he didn't even hide any bodies. I mean, he, you know, put a bunch of people downtown and said, hey, here's some tents and have fun. Yeah. But, I mean, he was hiding dead bodies.
No, so Cuomo is...
Gampy and Gammies.
He's now under investigation, but...
Oh, he is now?
Yeah, but...
Running that shit?
Exactly. I mean, if it's the Obama administration, they don't give 2 fucks.
No, dude.
Or not Obama. I mean, what difference does it make?
Same,
right?
Same.
The governor has defended himself, claiming he was following federal guidance by having elderly patients who had tested positive for COVID returned to nursing homes so long as the facility has the means to care for them. Now, there is a woman who is an apparent whistleblower. Stand by. I'll get you.
Yeah, because I'm curious as to how they keep getting more and more info on this. But, I mean, look, 5 fucking months worth of that. How many people is that? Do they have an exact number of bodies? That's the number I'm waiting to hear, like 63,000.
What's this woman's name?
That would be awesome.
This one was a nurse up there. Her name's Erin underscore BSN, Bravo Sierra November, Erin underscore BSN on Instagram. I don't know what is her real name? Shit, Erin something or other. Erin Marie Olszewski or some shit. I have no idea how to say
that. Middle names.
At any rate, she reports like being at the hospitals and elderly people were just kind of shoved into rooms together with ventilators, and their families weren't allowed to come see them, and they just died there in rooms, right?
Yes, yeah. Those images I saw.
Yeah, it's very reminiscent of the VA situation in Phoenix where people were literally dying in line waiting for fucking healthcare, right?
Yeah.
It is not only a horrible thing, because one of the first things we knew, I don't know why people always try to rewrite history in the internet age. It's so easy to find this information. One of the very first things we knew was that children really had nothing to worry about, and it disproportionately affected people 65 or older. We knew that from fucking January the 28th,
yeah,
when I first heard about this stuff going wide. That was one of the first things I discovered. Like, oh, okay, cool. So it's one of those,
yeah,
right? That's one of the first things we knew. So the idea that he was following federal guidance is nonsense, first of all. And maybe he was, because Fauci's a piece of shit, right? That guy's one of the biggest fucking cunts of all time. Just a real piece of shit. And he's lied to people over and over again. But how can a fucking immunologist say that once you're full, quote unquote, fully vaccinated, which that is a fucking nonsensical term anyways, but what?
Yeah, because it's only 80%.
Yeah, and yeah. But to say once you're done with that, you can fucking get back to normal or whatever, but you still got to wear a mask inside and outside until fucking last week where you can now wear it. You don't have to wear a mask outside. Like, shut the fuck up, dude. That is not how viruses work.
It's crazy.
That is, I mean, there are people that are dumb enough to believe that shit, but I'm not one of them. Man, come on.
Does
God
he have
damn.
Stake in some form of mask company and we just don't know about
who
it?
Who the fuck knows, dude?
My God.
I mean, qui bono, right? Who benefits? New York Attorney General James, or Tish James, has accused the Cuomo administration of undercounting nursing home people as well. So maybe it's the New York state legislature is coming after, or the attorney general is coming after him, which is good because he's one of the only people that can actually dole out justice to a governor,
yeah,
other than federal agents. The new allegations come along, you know, all the other shit that's going on with him. Fucking Uncle Touchy over there, fucking trying to make out with people and all that, and sniffing. And
Just getting a couple sniffs in there.
Nipple rings. And it seems like everything is crumbling around him. But for some reason, he's still standing up.
It's crazy, man.
Unbelievable.
It's almost like his brother works at, I don't know, a major news station.
Yeah, I would love to see the coverage they're doing on him now.
None. I'll probably check twice a week just to see, you know, kind of stay in touch with everything. Nothing. CBrad81 said, hey, man, here's 15 because I'm fucking late. I'm a late piece of crap. You're fine.
We're all pieces of shit here.
I'm wearing a fucking bandana because I'm worried about tonight's pick that I'm going to have to go Rambo and wear it around my head.
Yeah, I think you should actually give us another 15 for saying crap instead of shit. I'm offended.
No, guys, Ross has been lying this entire time. He actually joined the Crips and he's just been afraid to tell us.
Oh, yeah. Well, look, you choose one.
I don't think that's the right color blue, though. Isn't it a darker blue than that?
This used to be dark blue.
Oh, I see. So you're...
Oh, so you've been in for a minute.
You're saying you're an OG.
Long time.
Yeah. Also, brother. Ross is becoming a clean comic now.
Yeah. Not one fucking prayer. Dude, I had somebody ask me that early on in my career, and I was like... they were like, your language, why would you say that? Or the word fuck is a crutch. And I was like, no. Grew up in Georgia. Like, the kids that I hung out with were disgusting children. Like, I said, fuck every other word. That's what it was. Matt Damon said the same thing. He was just like, dude, that's how you grew up, and that's how you grew up. Sorry about it. Nothing you can say. I knew not to say in front of my parents and shit, but now I'm a grown-up, you know? And I tell my kids not to swear, but I'm sure they go get on the bus and tell each other the fuck off all day long. You know? Be honest about it.
I can definitely see Jagger later in life.
Oh, yeah, dude. Fucking kid's a Gronk. He's fucking Gronk, dude. I'm surprised. If somebody was going to take over the Capitol, it's probably him. Jesus, he's 2 years old, and he's fucking Baron height already. Baron Trump. Kill the libtards. He's that big already where you're like, geez, man.
The crowd just opens up, and it's just Jagger running.
He handed me a full glass of something the other night, and it was like a man hand of like, it was like Andre the Giant holding that beer can. You're like, Jesus, man. Fuck. But Cuomo, this how many lives does this guy fucking have? How many nipples does he have to pierce?
Well, he can't run for governor again, I don't think.
No. So what does he do? Slide out of there with a book deal and then go to that beach where Chris Christie blocked off? Or what
no,
does he do?
He'll show back up in the federal government in probably 3 to 4 years, I would guess.
Like a cabinet jump?
Yeah, Biden will give him some cabinet position for delivering New York.
Fuck
probably.
Me, dude. Fuck
like
me.
That. I mean, that's what you should expect, right?
Yeah. It's always the worst. By the way, if you're going to fuck me on a ghost bed from ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. 30% off mattresses, pillows, sheets, adjustable bases, all of the things are on there. And we're not doing the deal anymore. The deal with the free pillows is off. You guys killed them. You put them down. We had a deal going where if you bought a bed and you took a picture of yourself and you wrote a testimonial and tagged Ghost Bed and Drinking Bros on Instagram, you got two free pillows. They go no mas. no mas. Your listeners are crazy, and they got all of the pillows, and we can't do that anymore. So we're not running that deal anymore. I just got that email right before we went on air, and they're like, no more beds. No more bed pictures with pillows. Can't do that. However, you can use all of the deals, the 30 and 40% off, combine those, and then use the 36-month pay-as-you-go program, no interest there, and then knock down a full bedroom set to like $35 a month. It's the best. It is the very best in the biz at ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. The other thing about their website is all the reviews that are pulled up are actually our listeners. So if you're listening to the show and you're wondering, all right, are these guys just fucking talking shit about a mattress and amped about it? No, just go and trust the listener reviews. So when you go there to go to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros, all of the reviews, and there's like 2,000 are all of our listeners. So look, you know as well as I would, these motherfuckers wouldn't lie. So go there, check it out. They're the best. And I think we're trying to work out a deal with them for a long time. It's hard to find a good company that nobody's really bitched about.
Yeah.
Like,
we've never gotten a single complaint about Ghostbed.
Maybe one or two over the years, but Ghostbed fixed it really quick. I mean, they're great. So we're trying to extend long-term with them because we've worked with the brand for so long. Hopefully it happens. We'll see what happens. I'm a big fan of those guys.
Speaking of brands, we also have some Thigh Hugger shorts out.
Yes.
Drinking Bros patterns. We got a commercial for it from
Jared. Jared sent in a commercial, and yesterday we showed you we showed a commercial on air that we couldn't air.
Yeah.
For a product.
Well, not yet.
This one we can air.
Yeah.
So go ahead and play this now. This is Jared Taylor and our new Thigh Huggers, the Drinking Bros Thigh Huggers.
You are in violation
of what?
Of fashion.
New Drinking Bros Thigh Hugger Shorts. 100% legal, 100% amazing.
Now, I don't actually know whether or not they're legal, but we're selling them, so get fucked.
Where are they at? Where are they available?
Just go to Thigh Huggers and search Drinking Bros. You'll find them.
Thighhuggers.com?
Yeah.
Yeah, those are nice. Those, you know how fast those sell out, by the way?
Yeah.
Because Black Rifle did them. And they sold out. We're doing them, and they'll sell out in like 2 seconds. Mm. They're super fucking comfortable. Who was at the show? The dude with the mullet.
Scott Lopez.
He was there, and he was wearing a pair, and he goes, man, these are fucking comfortable. And I'm like, yeah, I know. They're great. But those will sell out quickly. So go to thighhuggers.com and just search Drinking Bros and get them. And,
they're easy to find.
Yeah, they're really fun. Who's the guy that owns it, Lance?
I don't know.
I forget his last name.
Giorgio knows him.
Lance.
Hmm? Yeah, my friend Pokey works for him. I had no idea they were making them, and he DM'd me this morning. He was like, you still working for Drinking Bros? And he just sent me the Thigh Huggers. Yeah.
That's dope, dude. Yeah, I'm not. I don't think I've met Lance in real life. It's Lance, right?
Yeah. In North Carolina. Yeah. Yes. Right around Durham.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But those are great.
Yeah, the best.
Fucking awesome, man.
The mobility you have in them.
You're a guy who wears those a lot.
Not in public. You know, those are just for the fans.
Really?
If you want to see me wear them, go ahead. Just Giorgio and OnlyFans. Subscribe for $5 a month. You can see me wearing the Drinking Bros Thigh Huggers, and I may just cut a hole in the front of those for easy access.
Wow.
Giorgio does so much shit on there for gay Marines.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's amazing. We should just rename it Gay Marines Paradise.
Support the troops, I guess.
Yeah. You got to support the troops.
They're
gay or straight.
All matter.
They all matter. Next up, Biden plans to sign an executive order raising minimum wage, but only for federal contractors.
Yeah, I don't know why. You don't even need an executive order for this. You can just say it. Like, he controls the executive budget.
Yeah,
down to the dollar, unless something has been specifically earmarked by Congress, and this hasn't. So, I mean, I guess this is the easiest way to do it, though. But yeah, I mean, it's raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour, but only for federal contractors. By the way, that's what every time this comes up in an election, every lefty president or in a gubernatorial election, every fucking gubernatorial candidate will say, we're going to fucking raise the minimum wage to this. We're like, well, actually, you can't really do that without Congress, right? You have to have Congress to do that. But you can raise it for federal employees anytime you want.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they already have. Like, federal employees already went to 15. Now it's federal contractors. Like, cool, dude. But that doesn't apply to the vast majority of people.
No,
that's 300,000 people. That's 1% of our fucking population.
Why would you put that out there?
Because everybody's going to bitch like a good
and be
headline.
Like, dude, I want $15. I want, you know?
Yeah, that's why.
Yeah. But he's not giving it to everybody else.
And it's, you know, the previous federal minimum wage attempt he did failed because he tried to include it in that fucking stimulus package before, which got shot down. I mean, they're not doing so well so far. After failing to include the wage increase in the stimulus package, Biden promised to push for a standalone bill, but is unlikely to gain enough votes to pass. There's no way they're going to pass it through the Senate. It's just not going to happen, right?
What is it, the $15 an hour?
Yeah, for like nationwide. By the way, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, I've got plenty of friends that work in economics. One of my friends was the economics fucking professor at Berkeley for a long time. Mm-hmm. May still be. I don't know if she's moved on or not. But literally nobody other than assholes and partisans think that it should just be a standard 15 because it doesn't make sense. It costs a lot less money to live in rural West Virginia than it does in LA. Yeah. You know what I mean? It should be based on a lot of other factors other than just like, oh, 15 is the bare minimum. I mean, we do have a minimum wage though. What people should be talking about isn't the minimum wage. It's in this new economy, which is you're either a tech employee or you're a creator or you're in service. It's one of those three things typically. Like a lot of these blue collar jobs are going around. And if you're in service, the tipped minimum wage is like $2.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And North Carolina is the worst.
Yeah, it's like $2.25 or something federally, I think.
Yeah.
And basically, you get tipped, right? Mm-hmm. Because your tips count towards that. If the minimum wage is $2.25, you have to get to the federal minimum wage, which I think is like $7.75 or something right now. You have to get to that with your tips. It has to average out to that, or the employer has to pay you more. So basically, restaurants are subsidizing their shitty business by forcing you to pay more. Just put it into the cost of the food, dude. Yeah. If you make it the idea that there would be a tipped minimum wage is the dumbest shit of all time. If it costs $7.50 or $7.75 or $10 or $15. To keep that employee there, just put it in the price of the food. I don't like doing math after I've eaten a bunch of food and drank booze.
Me neither.
I don't want to do that shit, man. It's fucking stupid. And if they do an exceptional job, then I'll still tip them afterwards.
Yeah.
But bake it into the cost of the stuff. That's what people should be really talking about. This whole fucking thing with the standard minimum wage is nonsense. People that underpay like that, especially these days, we can't even get people to go back to work.
No. And that's going to be the real problem
coming
up here when all this shit opens up. By the way, shout out to Marky Mark. He said, I love watching the show from the land down under. And the land down under.
Yeah, we like it down there.
He says, take my money before my ex-wife does. Smart. If you are in a divorce situation that is coming up, dump all your money into here.
Yeah, why not?
You're good to go. We're fine with it, you know? It goes to all the right places. It's right. Just booze and drugs.
By the way, the research done on this so far, as it stands right now, we have about 8 million less people working than we did this time last year before COVID. So this whole Biden economic recovery stuff that people are talking about, it's only in the stock market, which, by the way, every year when Republicans say, oh, the stock market's doing good, the left is the first to say, fuck, the stock market's only for rich people.
Right.
These people can't find it. Of course, they're not saying shit about that now because they're cunts. It says it right here, right here. Sorry, on the left side. That whole fucking thing that they're talking about is absolute nonsense. There's 8 million less jobs than there were before. And if he passes this minimum wage bill, the research done so far shows that about 1/3 of all businesses that have hourly employees are going to have to cut employees. So it's going to be more.
Yeah.
Right? More out-of-work people because of this shit. It doesn't make any sense, man.
No. No.
It's like you come up with an idea and you're like, oh shit, but if I do that, that's going to do this and this. Probably shouldn't do that.
It sounds good, Dan. Yeah,
the left is like, well, we told people we were going to do it. May as well.
Yeah.
Fucking idiots. It's the dumbest shit of all time. And I say the left, but it's the right too. They're full of shit too.
You know what we got next, Dan? Dr. Squatch.
Oh, yeah. I love it, Dr. Squatch. I usually this morning.
Dr. Squatch.
I'm really on the citrus one, man.
So the fruity IPA is what I used this morning.
I haven't used that one yet.
It is fantastic. The fucking pine tar. It's on my desk right now. Are you on it right now? Shit.
Boom. No, you can't see. You got to move it back a little bit.
I'll move it back. Here we go. Boom. This is it. Man. God damn. I'm sniffing it like Biden, dude. So they put a hole in the box so you could just smell it.
Mm-hmm.
Once you smell it, you're going to be in on this. This is my favorite bar of soap. I'm a bar of soap dude. Like, my wife uses the liquid I use bars of soap still. Like, fucking man. The pine tar is my absolute favorite. I've been trying them all. I would love to do a long-term deal with these guys. This was one where we hit them up and we're like, hey, I saw your ads on Facebook. They're fucking hilarious.
Yeah, it just reminded me of the Dollar Shave Club walkthrough ad from way back in the day.
Yes, but all of their ads?
It was funny and innovative, and they weren't pussies about it. I mean, one of their... They send us the copy sometimes, and then they tell us, like, hey, just talk about your experiences and make it your own. If there's any kind of caveats, we have to read those verbatim, but yeah, mostly we're just saying whatever. So Dr. Squatch, actually, when they send the copy over, it's like, hey, that soap you're using, it's fucking shit.
It's fucking shit.
Well, they don't say fuck, but they say it's shit. It's they shit. Literally say it's shit. So,
and it is. This is made with, like, all natural stuff, and it is the best-smelling soap of all time.
I'm a big fan.
I am addicted to it. I mean, look, I've also been living in a hotel for 18 days now, so...
It was nice. Small comforts in life.
Yeah, right. It's nice to pop it in instead of the hotel soap and use this. It saved my body and my face. Still, I'm a little shiny today. Done a lot of shit. A little shiny today. Gonna have to repowder up for that NFL draft show. But goddamn it, if I don't smell the best I've ever smelled in my entire life. Shouts to Dr. Squatch. I literally can't pump these guys enough. If I could buy stake in this fucking company, I would. They're doing it. I don't know how they're doing it, but they're doing it. That's amazing. Go to drsquatch.com. Promo code is a little bit different on this one, D'Anthony.
Yeah.
It's DSC Drinking Bros. That is DSC Drinking Bros for 20% off any orders over $20. That is DSC Drinking Bros at drsquatch.com. That's DRSQUATCH .com. And then the promo code is DSC Drinking Bros for 20% off all orders of $20. I fucking love this goddamn company. Gigantic fan of these guys. Next up, NYPD officer on the scene of a crash involving a reckless driver struck and killed by another reckless driver. Officer Anastasios, am I saying that correctly?
Anastasios Sakos.
Sakos was investigating a crash involving a driver with a suspended license when he was struck and killed by a drunk woman who also had a suspended license.
Yeah.
The 32-year-old driver, Jessica...
Probably Bouvet.
Bouvet is what my guess is. Fled the scene and was apprehended a few miles away after losing control of her car when it mounted the sidewalk. Police boxed in Bouvet with her vehicles, but the woman attempted to escape once again by ramming them multiple times. Officers involved in her arrest claimed that Bouvet was combative and admitted to drinking vodka and smoking marijuana prior to the collision. When tested, her blood alcohol level was twice the legal limit. Bouvet previously had her license suspended following a prior conviction for speeding and failure to pay fines. Jessica Bouvet has expressed regrets for her action, but nobody fucking cares because she's a piece of shit who deserves to rot in prison for the rest of her life. Officer Sakos was a 13-year veteran of the NYPD and leaves behind his wife, 6-year-old daughter, and 3-year-old son.
Yeah.
Why we're sharing this story with you...
Because she's a cunt is why.
And but because no one else will talk about this.
No, CNN won't talk about this because it was a black woman who was anti-police. You guys can probably... Bob, go find her social media and we can play the video that she recorded the night before this happened. I just want to give people a glimpse into the kind of personalities that are talking about defunding police and how fucking ignorant they are and how detached from reality and how little they care about actual human beings.
And once again, how the media controls the narratives, because why wouldn't you report this story?
Yeah, I mean, this is a massive story. A police officer was killed by somebody who was super anti-police officer. Now, if it was every time some celebrity, right-wing celebrity or whatever, whomever it was, or right-wing political commentator who had said anything negative about the way the government was handling COVID or questioned some of the practices, got COVID, they were like, noted anti-COVID vaxxer, fucking got AIDS or whatever from COVID. But not once will you see some fucking anti-cop cunt who's talking about cold people responsible and blah, 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 actually be held responsible by the same fucking media.
Yeah.
Right? Do you guys find that video yet? Because I could find it in like 2 seconds.
She will go to jail forever.
Instagram.
She's going to go to jail for the rest of her life. I think we can probably agree on that. But why the media isn't reporting it is crazy to me. That's why we wanted to bring you this story today. Because for every negative story you hear about a cop, you never hear the negative stories of what happens to cops when they're out there. And it's absolutely fucking crazy. So, yeah, Bob, if you can pull up her Instagram, it'd be great.
I mean, it's verified.
I think it got taken down.
Big shock.
I'm still looking.
Big shock. There you go.
She had a verified Instagram account, so it's not that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a few that are private. Yep, that's
private. It wasn't private this morning. I don't know how she would have gotten a hold of it to make it private unless somebody...
A lot of times it's not really...
Yeah, it's not. It's never the person. Somebody else, dude, doing some shit on there. How was she verified? What did she do in this world that made her verified is what I can't understand.
I have no idea. She's a fucking asshole, that's for sure. What about that?
Usually in these fucking high-profile cases, go to one day ago. I mean, usually in these high-profile cases, they'll either private the account or just delete it and hide it. Yeah, man. But she's young. She's 32. She's
I'm sure
going to jail
you can
ever.
Yeah, I'm sure you can find the video.
I tell you what,
on Twitter.
Yeah.
But she was essentially just saying fuck the cops and blah blah blah, and fans of the show know that I have a
very low tolerance for that.
Well, I mean, I have a low tolerance for that. I have a low tolerance for ignorant bullshit in general, but I also have a low tolerance for shitty cops. You know what I mean? So I'm good with fucking up shitty cops. What I'm not good with is the... Here we go. Yeah, right there.
Boom. Okay. The Daily Mail cut, I think, but... It's fine. Pop it up.
Yeah.
There it is. People figuring it out over there today.
I have a low tolerance for shit cops as well. Yeah, for sure. And I think nobody hates shitty cops more than good ones because they have to deal with the ramifications of that shit.
Oh, she has an anti-cop podcast. That's a fun thing.
Okay.
It's a new segment. Of,
what are we doing here? Why is this so media? Hard to pull up?
Yeah, Bob, why is this so hard to pull up here?
It's not. We have sound on a different computer.
Oh, well, so use the computer that you're have sound on. What the fuck?
Yeah, dude. What world are we living in here? What America is this?
You guys want sound from like four different computers at once.
No, right? I just use the computer that has sound on it to look up stuff that we publish on the show.
Yeah, pretty easy. Pretty easy. I didn't know there was an anti-cop podcast.
Well, come on.
What the fuck, dude?
It's probably like there's Rule 34 in media, too. It's anything that you can imagine that probably exists out there, right?
So Homegirl's just doing shots in this video saying, fuck the police.
Yeah. I mean,
I can read her lips faster, and I'm not deaf, Bob. Like, I was not born deaf, or I can just read, I can read her lips.
You were born DEF, though.
Boy, that it was. That I was. That's fine. You can just put this little video up on the screen without sound. I think people will get it.
It doesn't have sound, though, either.
Oh, that one doesn't have sound? All right, cool.
That's fine.
Anyways, take that shit down. fuck. She clearly runs an... anti-cop podcast, at least according to them. I don't know what the show is called, and I'm not going to say the name of it out loud anyways because fuck this cunt. But essentially, I've watched the entire video of her talking, and she's just rattling off stupid bullshit that makes no sense. You know, nothing substantial or substantive, rather. It's just nonsense. And then fuck the police because she's tough in her own home. Well, she wasn't very tough when she was getting perp walked out to a fucking car to be taken to jail because, her life is over. Unfortunately, it's not, though. I mean, it's too bad that she didn't die, too, frankly, because people like this.
I beg to differ on that.
Because she'll kill herself.
I think it'd be worse to live out your life in prison. I'd rather die immediately if I was going to jail for the rest of my life.
Some people probably would, but I don't think. I mean, she's a coward, obviously, because only cowards fucking talk shit like that. And then do stupid things that she did. So, I mean, hopefully she won't be around on this earth very much longer. People like that don't deserve to breathe air, frankly. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say about
and,
that.
And again, the reason why we wanted to bring this story to light is because nobody else is. No one else is, and you'll never hear about it. And you do here, so fuck it. And fuck her, and enjoy the rest of your life in jail. It's a long 50 for her. Because she's, what, 32? She probably lived till she's 80.
Not in jail, but...
Madoff did. That motherfucker just died.
Madoff lived his entire life a billionaire. right?
Yeah.
Eating the right foods and taking the right supplements.
Was he?
Yeah. Billionaires tend to do that.
But even in jail, he was in there for like, what, 15 years?
Well, no, not when he was in jail, though. I mean,
he still lived to 82, that fucking guy.
It starts to deteriorate.
It's the best people that live the longest is what I've learned.
No. Vince Young. Or Vince. Is it Vince? Whoa. Vince Neil.
Whoa.
Vince Neil.
Whoa. Vince. Can't be. Yeah, it's draft day, brother.
No, I was saying,
Vince Young slander. Austin.
Well, first of all, you guys are idiots for not understanding what I'm saying. Vince Neil, only the good die young, right?
Vince Neil's a different person.
I misspoke. I don't give two fucks about Vince Young. I mean, he was a
Austin
good quarterback.
Legend.
Yeah, who cares?
Greatest national championship of all time, in my opinion. That fourth and three?
Yeah, probably.
Amazing.
He was a good football player. Amazing. I mean, he was a good college football player.
Great steakhouse.
Rookie of the year, too.
Dan goes to that steakhouse all the time.
All the time, yeah.
Is it good? I haven't been there.
It's not bad. It's pretty whatever. I've been twice.
I don't want to hear it's pretty whatever when you're talking about steak.
Yeah, Dan's got a rule here of steak in Texas.
The only place where you can get a shitty steak is Texas Roadhouse, ironically enough.
Ah!
And it's not shitty. It's a super fatty.
Ross begs to differ.
Yeah, the one that guy had yesterday.
It's because
good,
they probably don't even get their steaks from
Texas. They had the deli. It was the one with the deli when you walked
in. I know. Their steaks are super fatty. Not in a good way.
Yeah, there's a good place called Lonesome Dove.
Yeah, Lonesome Dove is the best.
Oh, I've heard. Yeah, I heard that was great.
Yeah, it's the best.
Different, like, venison steaks.
Yeah, they have.
Yeah, it's real good. It's really good if you take the master switch there and read that while you're dining.
Yeah, by Tim Wu. Yeah. Woo!
It is, for real, though, Lonesome Dove is the best restaurant in the city.
That's what I've heard. I haven't been. I had to fix my phone yesterday.
There's one in LA.
I got stuck at the Texas
There's one in LA and one in Nashville now, too.
Mm.
So,
all right.
We'll go to one in September when we're out there.
Next up, we got policygenius.com. April's got, some not so fun things, Dan.
Yeah.
Usually it's taxes. They push that back.
Yeah, taxes.
Shit, I'm going to have to push back my own, dude.
Yeah, I got a file extension.
So do I, man. The flood took out my fucking receipts and shit. I was like, fuck. But this, man, policygenius.com is a car. And home insurance and all that shit. On average, at PolicyGenius.com, they've saved customers up to $1,055 per year by reshopping their home and auto coverage. Getting starting is easy. First, you just go to PolicyGenius.com, answer a few quick questions about yourself and your property. Then PolicyGenius takes it from there. They'll compare rates from America's top insurers, from Progressive to Allstate to find your lowest quotes. The Policy Genius team will then look at ways to maximize your savings, including bundling your home and auto insurance together. If Policy Genius finds a better rate than you're paying now, they'll switch you over for free. That kind of service has earned Policy Genius a 5-star rating across over thousands of reviews on Trustpilot and Google. Policy Genius can promise you that you won't feel their website feeling like a fool. They've saved customers, again, up to $1,055 per year compared to their current home and auto policies. Head to PolicyGenius.com to get started now. Policy Genius, when it comes to insurance, it's nice to get it right. Goddamn right it is. Goddamn right it is.
I don't know how busy the president and vice president are. I would assume pretty busy.
That's their next story.
But
are they?
According to all 50 U.S. governors, Biden and Harris have skipped the weekly COVID briefing calls pretty much every week.
This one I'm not going to blame them for. We're done with this shit. But I wish they would just say, hey, we're done with this
shit. Well, I mean, they're trying to play both sides. They don't want to actually do the work, but they still want to use the fear.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's why they're cunts.
This video will be demonetized in about 30 seconds on YouTube if it hasn't been already.
What are you going to do?
Who cares? Yeah, they've been skipping calls with the governors and all that other stuff, and it's kind of like, hey, dude, we're busy. The COVID thing is over. All I wish is that they would just cop to it and say, all right, great. We're having fans at the stadiums. Nobody's wearing a mask. Nobody's wearing a mask at the Brave stadiums and all this other shit. Let's get on the same fucking page moving forward on what we're going to do with all this.
Well, how can we do that, though? So the governors are the ones leading a lot of this charge, right? And the chairman of the Board of Governors in the U.S., guess who?
Is it Cuomo?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
Fuck off. I didn't know
that.
The
biggest piece of shit with the worst track record for COVID or just being a decent human being that exists in the governor world right now is the chairman of the fucking board. So, of course,
why didn't they fucking chuck him?
Who knows? Why hasn't Maxine Waters lost all of her committee assignments?
How? Why hasn't she lost her wig?
Well, it's probably glued onto her head.
Maybe stapled in. Maybe stapled in. Maybe it's Maybelline. I can't believe that he's doing that. See, in all sincerity here, with both sides, I don't really give a shit either way. I just want a clear, concise message to the nation of, all right, June 1st, we're done with the mask inside and outside. Everything goes back to full capacity. If you haven't gotten the vaccine by then, it's your fault, so fuck off. And if you want, if you don't want to get it, great, congratulations, and you die of COVID, and that's your fucking thing. Let's just make a clear, concise statement. That's what I was hoping for last night in that fucking presidential address, and we didn't get it. Instead, we get these vague fucking answers of, oh, man, you can have a picnic with 10 people by the river, and, you know, then wear a mask. Dude, knock all that shit off.
It is kind of cute being told I can do things again that I've never stopped doing.
Yeah.
They're like, yo, you can fucking go out again. I'm like, yeah, dude, I never stopped doing any of that stuff.
No.
Frankly, the only reason that I've spent more time indoors lately than I have before is because I've got the ability to do that. And I did it on fucking purpose.
Yeah.
Because I hate all of you.
Yeah, he hates
that's not
people.
True. Most people. Humans. I just don't like being in public. Or having people at my house. So it's like, what are the other options, right? It's cute. And the governors are complaining. Sununu from New Hampshire is complaining and told the press, like, look, it would go a long way if they would just show the fuck up.
Yeah.
And give us guidance, information, whatever, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's their job to make sure that everybody's informed with the right information. They're not even showing up to the goddamn meeting. So if you're wondering how seriously they're taking this, they're really taking it seriously. It's like all these videos you see of people before the cameras turned on, they've got their mask off, and then they put it on so they can take it back off to do the address.
Yeah, hey, everybody. That happened last night.
Yeah.
So Biden was speaking last night. He didn't have a mask on, and then behind him was Pelosi and Kamala Harris. They both had their mask on.
Yeah.
To my knowledge, everybody got the vaccination, so what the fuck are you masking up for? And then the Congress was all spread out, you know, 6 feet apart and all that other shit still last night. And I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Well, I mean, they're all at risk because they're all elderly.
I understand, but I think they all got the fucking vaccination, right?
Sure.
Or they were just like, fuck this. There's not enough data. We're not getting this shit.
You know? I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of conservatives who didn't get it, I would imagine, right?
Yeah, I think so. Next up, Kamala Harris plans on fixing the border crisis by planting trees. Ah, that's a nice thing.
That usually works. Arbor Day is a big deal for me.
I love it. Pinecone Day is a huge day for me. And I'm not even revolution.
I'm actually kidding. So I don't know if I've ever told this story before. I think I was 19. I was in college before I joined the Army, and I walked into a movie theater, and they only had the hand dryers and not paper towels.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fine, by the way.
Sure.
That part didn't upset me. But the snarky message about how I'm saving the environment, man.
Yeah.
And trying to shame me into even wanting a paper towel in the first place, which is way more convenient, by the way, and all recycled, by the way.
Yeah.
I got pissed off, and I burned down a tree in the parking lot of that fucking movie. Not even kidding. I fucking did that.
How old were you?
19.
Nobody caught you?
Well, I mean, what are they going to catch me? Fucking...
I mean,
it's like South Carolina, man.
Seeing a tree on fire.
But it was like, you know how they, and some of the medians out in the parking lot, they have those little birch trees. And
I just
dumped fucking kerosene all over one and lit that fucker up.
So did you get kerosene?
Again, it was South Carolina.
Yeah, I'll stand up from this one. Being from Georgia, we all had a can in our car.
There's always gas.
Always. Yeah. We always had a gasoline can in our car that was like a must of carry a gasoline can in your car.
The kerosene was for... a heater that we had used at some fucking field party, right?
Yeah.
So it was one of those old kerosene heaters, but it had a dope ass fixture on it. So we would take it out there, get fucked up, and fire and shit. Anyways, the point isn't where I got the goddamn kerosene. The point is that fuck trees, bitch.
Yeah, right? Bob doesn't.
Right.
Bob
Harvey Updike over here.
Bobby doesn't know over there that the kerosene thing in the South is a big deal. So. This is another true story. I ran out of fucking gas on the country roads of Texas driving somewhere. I was like, how's there not a fucking gas station out here? And wife had to come and pick me up, took me to the gas station, you know, to get a gas can. And the guy looks at me behind the counter. He goes, man, how the fuck do you not have a can of gasoline in your truck?
Yeah.
And I was like, ah, shit, we're back in the South, dude. Yeah, no, you're right. And I'm an asshole. And anyway. I admitted that. And I bought the fucking gas can. And I said, I don't want to borrow it, I want to buy this because I'm an asshole and I need it. So
yeah. So anyways, that's back to the point of this, and this speaks to my point of why trees are fucking pointless. And well, obviously that's not true. So next month, Kamala Harris is scheduled to meet with President Andres Manuel Lopez Obrador III, Esquire. How many fucking names do you need, asshole? How about President followed by last name?
That's it. That's all you need.
Shithead. Anyways, I don't know who wrote this fucking article, but I don't want to stab him. Anyways, they're discussing a plan to offer American citizenship in return for planting trees in Mexico.
Oh, that's nice.
I don't know what that means. So the Mexican leader pitched the idea to Biden administration during the president's virtual climate summit at the White House last Thursday. I love that, too, by the way. All these fucking old rich assholes sitting around on technology that was made by child slave labor in a country that promotes communism to talk about how they're going to save the world.
Yeah.
Like, it is the dumbest shit of all time. These people should drown themselves. Anyways, the Mexican leader pitched this shit, and the plan involves planting 1 billion fruit and timber trees. And in exchange, proposes a U.S. grant 6-month work visas to the participants, and then it's a path to citizenship afterwards for coming to plant fucking trees,
dude. Yeah. Arborists.
Like,
hard to find.
So technically speaking, if you're a fucking terror organization, all you have to do is tell your people, and these are fucking jihadists, by the way, who are willing to blow themselves up. I'm pretty sure they're willing to plant trees and sing John Denver for 6 months to get into the country and get citizenship.
Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me? You don't buy your way in through any other way but one, military service. That is it, right? Any other way, get fucked.
But let me ask you, Dan, because you were in the military. Mm-hmm. What's the difference between somebody who served overseas and a really good arborist who can plant a tree?
What?
Dan, those are hard to find. A really good arborist.
No, any asshole can plant a fucking tree, man.
I don't know.
This. This is very hipster. It's kind of like a deconstructed Trojan horse.
It's just, this is one of the dumbest things I've ever seen in my life.
Ever. What are the trees doing? Is that like the new border of like, oh man, you know what? These Mexicans they'll go through the desert for 150 miles, but they won't walk through a forest afterwards to get to the country. Like,
yeah, I don't know. I mean, basically what it's going to do is make it harder to see them.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know if it's at the border or not. I think they're planting trees in Mexico or some shit. I mean, it doesn't really specify that because it does say, the plan, if the plan was put into place, it would create 1.2 million jobs in Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador. So I don't know why we're focused on creating jobs in other countries. I don't think I need to say anything else after that. That's fucking stupid, man. God damn it.
Wait, how are these jobs?
A good arborist is hard to find.
No, for sure. Those are job planning stuff. I mean, look, the seasonal migrant labor, just look up Cesar Chavez. You can find out all about that bullshit. It's a real thing, and it's also a good thing for our economy, by the way.
Yeah.
But this.
Right, for cash crops, but trees just
adding.
Sit
well,
there.
I mean, trees are cash crops now because we're using lumber at a higher rate than we ever have.
Lumber prices are
crazy.
Now we're
going to import our lumber
high.
From other countries? We can't even grow our own trees here?
Pretty much.
Well, man. I mean, why would we if we can import it from other places? And think about this from a global peace and economic standpoint. We can, from a country that has not experienced the same inflation as the U.S., pay them 20% of what we would have to pay somebody here, and that value goes the same distance in their country as the 80% increase would here, right? Mm-hmm. And we're getting the lumber cheaper as well, right? And now we're able to do that. We're not taking up space. And we're making sure that country that's right next to us has a lot of happy and employed people.
Yeah.
That's a good win-win. Giving them American citizenship is fucking stupid. Yeah. Like, why would that even be on the goddamn table? But, I mean, the answer is obvious. Oh, I got the fucking Biden job and got me into the country. I'm voting Democrat for the rest of my life. And that's how these fucking people think.
Yes, yes.
I mean, it is absolute nonsense. It's fucking stupid. This is the dumbest shit I've ever seen.
It's slandering good arborists too.
It really is.
Like you're taking advantage of a good arborist, you know. And I don't support that either.
The true test is if they can move the tree somewhere else.
Correct.
Keep it alive.
Correct.
I don't give a fuck about trees, man.
No, let's go into it. You a Symbalsam guy? I'm a Symbalsam guy.
We can start making oxygen in a fucking lab and have it in cans like Spaceballs, man. Fuck this shit.
Yeah. Why can't they do that in India?
Yeah. Ross, what's your favorite arboretum?
Oof. Gosh, I think the one in the Pacific Northwest.
There's quite a few in Atlanta.
Yeah, there is. Tons of them. I spent my whole childhood there. Just running through the trees.
I'm pretty close to burning this entire building down right now.
Don't relax with some KillCliffCBD.com. Four amazing flavors. Flamin' Joe, Joe Rogan, he's got his own flavor there. He's bigger than all of us. Bigger than all of us, and he's got his own flavor there. We don't have our own flavor there, Dan.
No, it's because they hate us.
Man, it's bullshit. But we love KillCliffCBD.com. 25 milligrams of CBD in every single can. Helps you relax. I take one every fucking night to sleep. I'm not going to have one tonight, though, because it's the NFL draft here. In about 45, we're getting started on the Drinking Bros Sports channel and the other YouTube. So I gotta keep it up. So I'm going to go with their energy drinks instead here today. Behind you, KillCliffCBD.com. Promo code Drinking Bros. 20% off and free shipping. That is also good at KillCliff.com as well for all of their energy products and everything else. Huge fan of these guys, and again, if it was not working tonight, I'd be having a can before I go to sleep because we got a flight tomorrow to the old Derby. Last story of the day here,
college.
D'Anthony colleges.
We bitch about the education system quite a bit.
Yeah, they keep trying to fight racism by being fucking racist. Yeah. A private college in Minnesota is holding mandatory segregated anti-racism training for its faculty. The website for Carleton College states all faculty staff will need to either attend the live session or watch the recorded session each month. Some faculty members have refused to participate, leading in the college accusing them of perpetuating racism. A slide from the monthly meeting held in March reads, "This is uncomfortable, but totally predictable. After all, a refusal to acknowledge racism is real. Helps keep the system intact."
The system.
Sweet. What's the system?
I don't know what it is in Minnesota. Right? Not a lot of black folk up there.
The monthly meetings were created in response to a written statement made by a group of students called the, man, I'm going to butcher that one, Ujamaa Collective?
I got to look
UJAMMA. So if I'm pronouncing that incorrectly, I apologize.
It is
it's Ujamaa. We'll go with Ujamaa.
Oh, God fucking damn it. There's pop-ups on the site, so don't go there because they're trying to sell you merch.
Why wouldn't you?
This has nothing to do with fucking
merch
changing
it up,
anything.
Dude.
It's about
merch
selling
up the
fucking
racism.
T-shirts. We Lift As We Climb, Advancing Africana Women.
There you go.
Which is fine. Have your group, whatever.
What's Africana? Do they take off the African?
I don't know. Maybe it's like Americana, but Africana.
Is it Latinx?
I don't know. But so the collective.
They've got demands, Dan.
They had demands. The college must contract independent black anti-racist trainers to underscore the. So they suffer under this delusion, and now they want the university to pay to train everybody else that their delusion's true. That sounds a lot like putting prayer back in schools, by the way.
Yeah.
So let's not pretend like this is fucking new or that it only comes from the left.
Yep.
Okay? Everybody on board? Sweet. I'm sure half of you aren't. Well, at least 45% of you, statistically speaking.
Statistically speaking, Dan.
They also have demanded financial compensation for all members of the Ujamaa Collective to receive financial compensation because, quote, black students bear the burden of promoting and addressing issues facing the black community, end quote. Yes. Everybody bears the burden of taking care of their own community. That's kind of what a community is, fuckface. Holy shit. So that's they're expected to be compensated for bitching.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Why not? Yeah.
I mean, that's next level millennial shit. That's Gen
Have you not
Z,
heard of
whatever.
Emotional labor?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's called emotional reasoning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That led to that.
I'm on Dan's side of fuck. Just killing people now.
Well.
Yeah.
I mean, well, we're not doing that, obviously. Yeah. But
maybe a swift smack on the bottom.
Smack on the bottom.
Like, hey, quit it.
Quit it. Knock it off.
Now I'm turned on.
Knock it off.
This is just another power grab made under the guise of social justice. And you can tell immediately when you go to their fucking website. It's not a fucking... The first things that pop up aren't like, here's a new fucking vlog we did explaining this. No, it's fucking merchandise you can buy. So some asshole can go buy a fucking $1.4 million home in LA. That's what this is.
That's all it is.
Fuck these idiots, man. Jesus Christ.
That's all it is.
The idea, I mean, the Calling of the American Mind talks a lot about this, but even more so Douglas Murray's book that I've told you all about. By the way, the book club logo is done now, so that's going to start soon.
Where is it going to be? People are asking. Where are you putting
it? It'll be its own channel.
Okay. Yeah. On YouTube or on Patreon?
I haven't decided that yet. Probably on Patreon, to be honest, because I'm going to do some stuff that YouTube is not going to like.
Yes, I would highly recommend that.
So, it'll probably be over there.
Drinking Bros Podcast Patreon. Yeah. We put two extra shows there every single week.
Yeah. But anyways, this intersectionality bullshit is we are constantly trying to do everything we can to separate everybody into their own little groups. Like it's basically like a baseball card and it has all your fucking stats on the back, but your stats are your race and ethnicity and gender and sexuality and political beliefs and all this other bullshit. And you get a grade on each one based on what level you can be offended by what.
Right.
Right. So we've stripped away the actual personality of a human being and reduced them to the fucking things that they are. So all that stuff is what you are, but who you are is what I care about. You know what I mean? And that's what we all should care about. We've completely fucking removed that part, somebody's individual character, and it leads to the principle of charity. If you know somebody's a good person and they say something that sounds problematic, you know that they probably fucked up. They misspoke or they're thinking wrong because you know that their intent is generally good. That's the principle of charity, and it becomes completely removed. This is what we've done in past wars by dehumanizing the enemy. They're just whatever racial slur we decided to call them at the time. They're not a real person because killing a real person hurts. It hurts your soul to do that stuff. But killing some mongrel or animal or fucking whatever you want to call them, terrorist, you know what I mean? It makes it a lot more palatable. This is what's happening in American society right now. We're reducing people to conservative or liberal or pro-Trump or fucking anti-vax or whatever it is. And that becomes their entire identity and no longer are they a person. So anything they say to you, that is just the fucking talking point from that side. It's no longer a piece of information that you need to process or think about at all, right? So thoughts are just meeting in midair and evaporating. And all it is two warring tribes against each other that aren't listening at all. And the inevitability of war is coming, right?
You seem to think so, dude.
I do.
Yeah.
Because this has happened a lot in history. It's happened quite a few times. And it's happening faster here than it's ever happened anywhere before.
I think a war is coming on TikTok. Faster than that, but that's me. I think people are blind and they don't really fucking care. Elon G has seen BS-132 pass, men that identify as woman go to woman. I don't know what that means.
It means that male to female trans people are now going to be imprisoned alongside females. This has been done in a couple of places.
I'm sure that'll work out fine.
Just rape after rape after rape.
Yep.
That's all it is.
I'm sure that'll be fine.
Whatever, you know. You hear a fucking leftist.
Is that a federal bill?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeesh.
Whenever you hear a leftist say that they care about women, then now you can tell for sure they don't.
Yeah. That's fucking crazy, man.
Not only do they not care about women, the women who are most at risk to things like that, they clearly have shown no care for. So, I mean, it doesn't matter if you think that somebody, it is wrong to say that all trans women are rapists, right? That's not true.
That's not true, yeah.
But there's a higher proportion of rapists amongst the trans women community in prison than anywhere else. And the data shows that trans women in prison rape women all the time, right? It's very frequent. So it doesn't matter what your intent was at that point. The facts speak for themselves. And then they pass the bill after the fact, after the data was collected. If they did it before and they're like, oh shit, that's not working out, that'd be one thing. But they waited for the data. The data said, don't do it. And they did it. Because they don't give a fuck. It's all about posturing and virtue signaling. It has nothing to do with fucking life.
If you're a man, why wouldn't you just identify as a woman and go to a women's prison?
Yeah, why not?
If that's what that bill is, I don't know what it is. So I'm speaking in complete ignorance on it because I don't know what it is. But if that's true, shit, just identify as a woman and do whatever you want. Now's the time in the show. We get to the drinking bro of the week. He's actually in studio today. Bradley Yandel. Come on up, buddy. Come on up. This is your last day here in Austin, Texas. You're moving to Nashville, right? Yeah, grab a chair. Come on in.
I'll just get up.
All right. Come on in, Brad. We're about to get into the NFL draft. Are you sticking around tonight for that?
I am. I'm going
to
stick around for a little bit.
Yeah.
Fins up, Craigers. Fins up, buddy.
Fins up, dude. Welcome, buddy. Welcome. We wanted to bring you on. I know you're moving to Nashville, Tennessee. What, tomorrow?
I'll be leaving tonight.
So, oh, no shit.
Yeah, I'm not going to be drinking too much tonight. I'll leave around midnight, and I'll be there about 3 o'clock tomorrow. I drive through the night mostly.
Okay. How far is that drive?
740 miles, about 14 hours.
Oh. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, then, I say. Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, when we moved to Austin, Texas, you hit us up, and you were like, hey, dude, I've been listening to the show, love you guys, and you've helped us with the ins and outs of this city for the last year here and all that we've done or, you know, tried to do here.
Right,
and,
right.
And you were like, hey, man, this is what to do, or these are the people, or all that other shit. So we just wanted to say thank you. And then you also pop in, you know, all of our live shows and all that other stuff. So we just want to say thanks and give you the drinking bro of the week.
I appreciate it, man. I came out to the live show, and the election show was my first one.
Oh, yeah, with Alex Jones.
And with Dinoff. And Dinoff is an old high school buddy.
Yeah, Big Dick Dinoff, dude.
Yeah,
oh, was that it?
Yeah,
I
punched him in the nose in high school, or he spit in my face, and then we got a little tussle. He's like, I swear I don't remember it. I was like, well, you know, I mean, whatever. He's like, my mom may remember stuff like that. But I was like, dude, it's not a big deal. He's like, you're not upset, are you?
Yeah.
No, dude, I'm not. It's been 20 years. I'm not upset about it. But
that's hilarious.
I am moving home. Grandma's back home.
Yeah.
I have a transitioning sister back home, Zoe.
What's she transitioning to?
To be a sister.
Oh, is she your brother?
Uh-huh.
Okay, gotcha, gotcha.
So Zach's becoming Zoe.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I was in the Air Force, did all the service, but it's the weirdest part is when I get phone calls, it's still a deeper voice than mine, so it's, hey, man, Merry Christmas. This is Zoe. It's like, oh, hey, Zoe.
So she's just not identifying as well. She's becoming a
As far as I know, I'll get more
you don't
of a
ask?
Rundown.
You didn't ask? Hey,
when I'm face-to-face, I will. I mean, we play Warzone online. She sends me trans skateboarding videos and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, my dad passed away a few years back, so I'm going to go try to be that role. I mean, my grandma's 82. Help out with that. Help out with the brothers. My cousins are there. I've got lots of friends there, so I'm pumped to go home.
Nashville's a great town. My dad lived there, and he had custody of this in the summers, and we always had a great time in Nashville. I love Nashville. Shit, we were debating Nashville for a little bit, and we ended up settling on Austin. So it's a great city. Look, you grew up there. You know what it is, and it keeps getting bigger. And we also do a lot of events there. So I know we're doing Rob O'Neill's charity golf thing again in the fall with him. So do we come up to Nashville all the time?
If I didn't have my party on Saturday, Louisville's only 3.5 hours away. I was going to think about scooting up there, but
dude,
apparently I've got
drunk one.
Like 35, 40 people coming to my welcome home party Saturday.
That's awesome.
I haven't felt that loved in years. So, you know, it's pretty cool, man.
No girlfriend?
I am talking to a Marine back home. I've known her since... since I got out. So the year I got out, 2006,
okay.
We were on float together. I was on the 11th MEMU. So Brittany Carrington, she was a sergeant. She spent 9 years in the Marine Corps. So and she's the one to conceal carry, not me.
Yeah.
So, yeah. We're going to see how it goes. The party's at her house. My parents are coming up from Georgia. They live in Cumming, right?
It's like 20 minutes from me.
Yeah, so it's only about 3.5 hours for them. My dad's going to smoke a pork shoulder and bring that up, and we're going to have a whole spread.
Damn, that'll be awesome.
It'll be a little party. It's going to be fun. I'm excited to go home.
That'll be great. You guys can hang out, watch the Kentucky Derby. Have some drinks, catch up, and go back home, man.
It's going to be good.
Yeah.
And I'm to the moon right now. And to hang out with you guys and do all this stuff, I've got a couple of Dolphins jerseys. I got to figure out which
Fins
one I'm going to wear for the live
Fins
show.
Up. Are you staying for the...
I am. I brought my authentic Wilson, like the Wilson jerseys, right? All the sewn.
Yeah.
And then I have a Kareem Abdul-Jabbar jersey.
Okay.
With number 33.
Yeah.
It's a reversible Reebok from back in the day.
No shit.
Yeah, Craig was like, show Ross that. He'll appreciate it.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Real quick here, who do you got tonight? Who the Fins taking?
I want the Slim Reaper, but I know we're going to take something off the wall and we're going to fuck it up just
Slim
like we
Reaper
do.
Slim Reaper is the move, man, if you can get him. That guy's it's the best wide receiver I've seen in person in college.
Right.
So
I'm just wondering when some of those guys, when they get to the higher level, he's not as big. He's going to be elusive and fast, but...
He reminds me of DeSean Jackson. DeSean Jackson had a great career. He just got some injuries towards the end, but that guy was amazing. He didn't have the best quarterbacks either.
No.
Not that Tua is fucking great, but at least he played with Tua, so...
Yeah, yeah.
He might have a shot.
I did see the whole left-handed quarterback deal to where when Jerry Rice got Steve Young,
he would sit there
and ask him to throw him 1,000 passes a day. So I don't know if that has anything to do with Tua or if that kid's going to be able to, you know, already be in tune with that. But maybe that's the reason you pick him.
Find out.
I don't care what it is. Just pick the guy, please.
Find out. Our draft show is live on Drinking Bros Sports here in 35 minutes. thank you for joining us tonight. Bradley Andel, thank you for everything you've done for us
here in the city of Austin
and getting us acclimated here. We greatly appreciate it, and we wish you nothing but the best of luck going back home to Nashville. For D'Anthony Holloway, Bradley Yandel, I'm Ross Patterson. This is Drinking Bros Fake News. Good night, everyone.